Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. That just puts you in a state of expectancy. You know, there's different types of meetings. We're a local church here, and we're gathered together. You can do different things. We can, you know, we're joining up. We're all come here expecting. When you have a general meeting, it's a little bit different sometimes because you got all kinds of people from all different backgrounds, but in a local body, it's just like you can do different things in your house than you can do, you know, with people that you don't know. So on Wednesday nights, I've been talking about different things, but the last week we were talking about, picked back up on healing. And so we're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you haven't heard that, then listen to it on the web. I think it's not, we had a little bit of a problem, so it's not there now, but it will be there soon. But we've been talking about healing and healing God at work, we've entitled it. That healing is God's work, and if you look throughout the Word of God, it's God's will that we be healed. I'm going to run through some real quick things in review, just to at least get us going, but I just encourage you, go listen to the Word, the recordings, get you up to speed. Really quick, let's turn over to John. John 14, we'll read this because this is where we started for most of this time. We've been on a specific vein here the last few weeks, but John 14, 9. John 14:9. Everybody there? It says, "Have I been with you so long?" Go back to verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." So verse 9, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" So if we've seen Jesus and we look at what Jesus did in the Word of God, you get a vision, a picture of what God the Father is like. If you can look at Jesus, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Jesus said so. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus went about, go over to Acts 10:38. Just start with these couple verses here. Acts 10:38. Thank you, Lord. Acts 10:38. This is Peter preaching at Cornelius, at his household. And he says, verse 36, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached," excuse me, "how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good And what was the good he was doing? It says he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. So Jesus went about doing good and healing. The Bible says in several places that he went about preaching, teaching, and healing. When you see Jesus, that was his ministry. He went about preaching, teaching, and healing. The Bible says that in several places. So that's what he was on this earth to do. So if we look at Jesus, we can see a picture of the Father. We're talking about healing. So we get a picture of the will of God for us concerning healing. And Jesus didn't go around making people sick. It was his will that people be well and whole and healed. He said in John 10:10 that I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. He said before, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's the will of God for every person, is that we would have life and that we have it more abundantly. That is God's will. We need to completely sew that up, establish that in our minds, even if we've heard it before, we can become more established that God's will is always, always, always for our good. So, but the thing is, people get tripped up because they say, well, why do bad things happen? Why are certain things happening in the earth? And, you know, a lot of misunderstanding stems from people believing that God is in control of everything. And he's not. He is the Almighty, but he has limited himself in certain areas. And one of those, he gave dominion over the earth to Adam. He said, Adam, to have dominion over all the life that was in the earth. And Adam went and he bowed his knee to Satan. And then we see throughout the word then that Satan is called the god of this world. I want to read you something. I read this before. But years ago, I mentioned this last week, but I think, and I know I've read it before, but I'll just read it to you. Brother Hagin said this. Said, during the Korean conflict, I read an article by a well-known newspaper columnist. He said, in effect, I don't claim to be a Christian, but I'm not an atheist or an agnostic. The atheist says there is no God. I believe there is one. The agnostic says there may be a God. He doesn't know. I believe there is. I don't believe everything just happened into being, he continued. I believe some supreme being created everything. But what hinders me from being a Christian is what I hear preachers saying. I'm confused because they say God is running everything, and if he is, he sure has things in a mess. Then the man alluded to wars, children being killed, poverty, disease, and sickness, saying, I believe there is a supreme being somewhere, and that everything he made was beautiful and good. I just can't believe these things are the work of God. And this man had some sense. This isn't all the work of God. There is an enemy. Satan is the god of this world, and he's the one that has things in a mess. He's not a good manager. He doesn't like humanity. All he wants to do is control and to have power and have people worship him. He wants to be God, but he's not. He tried to defeat God. He got creamed. So he tries to get men to worship him, and he doesn't care anything about anybody. You talk about selfishness, that's devilish. Well, he's the king of that. Selfish, doesn't care about another being, completely self-centered, egotistical. He wants people to worship him, and he has this world in a mess. And so that is why there are all these things that don't seem to line up, or they don't line up at all. If you think that God has things under control, then they don't make any sense whatsoever. People dying young and so on and so forth. So we've talked about that some, and that it's God's will that we can look at Jesus and see God's will, and God's will is always healing. But there are, in the body of Christ, there is misunderstanding and there is teaching out there that God will put sickness or disease on you. When we talk about it always being God's will for us to be well, there is this thought that, well, sometimes you don't know. It might not be God's will. It might not be God's will for you to be healed. It might not be God's will for your child to be whole. It may be God's will to take him home. It's never God's will for any of that to happen. But there are teachings and misunderstandings out there, right? I mean, if you've been around, there are those things out there. Well, those things come from different misunderstanding of the Word of God. But people aren't just pulling all this stuff out of thin air. You know, most of doctrine that's wrong, it's based somewhat on some scripture misinterpreted. And that's the worst kind, right? I mean, that's any kind of a lie or deception has a sliver of truth in it. If you know, just come up and just pull something out of thin air, most people aren't going to buy it, but it has something that sounds almost right or half right and seems like it. That's where people get deceived. So there are scriptures in the Word that say different things, and people have taken it and they're misunderstanding, and they've had help to misunderstand it. You know, the enemy helps people misunderstand the Word of God. If he can't stop you from getting into the Word, then he'll try to help you just go off in the weeds. And that happens. That's happened to some great men of God. And I don't need to mention any names, but there are people that have shook this world with signs and wonders and miracles, and then just went off into the weeds with doctrine. And it's sad, but that's why we have to stay. We cannot look at men. Don't ever look at men. I know we say that, but you cannot go by a man and say, well, such and such said. Well, they said this, and you know these things were right. You know certain things were right. You can't just follow a man apart from God and apart from the Word, because men can drift. It's happened historically. It's happened over and over. If you ever want to read something about it, read God's Generals. Some of you have read that. It's amazing. What you see out of that book is that the grace of God is strong. The people that he'll use, that will allow all of us, if we'll allow him to use us. There's some people in there that were mightily used of God, but had messed up lives. And they went off into the ditch doctrinally. I don't care who it is. You can't say everything they say is right. You cannot do that. You cannot put a man on a pedestal or above the Word of God, period. I don't care who they are. Brother Hagin would say this over and over. He would say, if I say something, you don't take it because I said it. You go in the Word and look it up, and then go out and say, don't say Brother Hagin said this doctrine-wise. Say, the Word of God says this. You know, you'll hear me use illustrations of Brother Hagin and what he's gone through. That's one thing. It's not teaching doctrine. We shouldn't say, well, such and such said it, so it's right, as if it's the Word of God. We have to be lined up with the Word of God. And so there are things in the world today. You have to go back to the Word. You cannot get centered up on a person, because if they start drifting and you're so close to them, that's just like you can get blessed by somebody, and God can use them to change your life. And because of that, you can be really just hooked up with them and you can almost get so close that you're not looking at what they're saying relative to the Word. And inside, the Holy Spirit will always tweet. He'll always warn you. He'll always say, But you can override it. You can say, that doesn't sound quite right, but it's them. And they're drifting. They're starting to move. But you look at them going, that does, really? But I've been blessed in the past, and I know that was from God. That doesn't matter. I know this was from God. Doesn't matter. And then it goes further, and you're just like, well, yeah, but I'm looking at the Word. I'm looking at them, but it's them. Doesn't matter, because then all of a sudden you're over here. It's like the frog getting boiled, little by little. This is how it happens. And no man is fallible. So get your eyes off of man and get them on the Word of God. This is how religion gets started. And this is when there's another move of God on the earth over and over throughout history. This is how denominations. Why people say, why do we have so many denominations? I'll tell you why we have so many denominations. Because there was a move of God. And God was doing something in the earth. And people got, they came, they saw the truth of something. And then, the church was revived. And people, the Lutherans were started because they saw that it's by faith alone. And broke away. But over and over this has happened where something has been established and then the next move of God comes and you have all these people that were centered around this and now the next move is coming and these people don't change. They won't move. They'll say, what? No, we're fine here, and people will come over here and rally around this and see what God's doing. And sometimes the most staunch or the people that are against the current move of God or the ones that were strongest in support of the last move of God. And you'll see this. So what happens? God's doing this and these people won't move. So we're going to go off and start a new denomination. But what happens after a while? God's doing something else. And these people, we're not going on. So, well, you're not going to go on. We're going on. Boom, another denomination. And this has happened over and over and over and over and over. That's why we have so many denominations today. Well, what do we have to be careful of? That we don't go just center up on something and said, well, so-and-so taught this, and this is what this word, and this is the truth, just kind of isolated from anything else. Can't do that. What'd you end up doing? Well, I don't know where that's coming from. We're centered up here. You know what happens after a while? It becomes religion. Because the people, see this, and what has happened to many denominations on this earth? People have, at one time, the fire of God was there, that's what God was doing, but pretty soon, God, it's not that God moved away from them, God was emphasizing something or doing the next thing, and these people stayed. And now, they taught their children weren't in the same thing. They say, well, They're just doing it because their parents told them and because they just got these practices taught to them. And now it's religion. There's no power there. And people just replicate it over and over. And you have these silos of this happening all over. Where we believe this way, and we believe this way, and we believe this way. And you believe that? Well, we don't believe that. We're of this. And that's what happens. And it happens today. So we want to go after God, not a man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will tell you, I really don't want to get off our topic. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I think that's good. I think we'll stay there. But just in the earth today, same thing's going on. So just stay close to the Word. Don't get caught up with people. And don't get caught up, don't be isolating yourself to certain areas. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. We go any more there or not? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, let's keep moving. So, we went through several scriptures. Just trying to recap. We're not getting very far. Let's see. We're just going to have to sum up. Because I can't, if I go through all these again, we'll end up right where we did last week. We won't get any further. But there are, you can get the last recording. But we went through several scriptures. So we're talking about that, that Jesus is the will of God in action and that healing is God's will. But there are other doctrines, other teachings. That's how we started going, talking about not following a man and staying centered up on the Word. That God does certain things. And there's misunderstanding concerning this topic. And we got into last week a little bit. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy. We'll read a couple things there, and then we'll move on. I think this will make be enough for us to go forward. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Let's read this. So we read some other scriptures concerning healing. I'm not going to take time to go over theirs, but let's look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Now this is talking about the blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience concerning the law. Verse 1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, in the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks." Glory to God. I just have to go back here. Let's just go over to Corinthians. I can't get any further there. Let's go over to Corinthians. Hallelujah. Let's just go over here. We'll come back if we need to. I can't get any further there. 1 Corinthians 3. Everybody there? It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal." Carnal means natural. So I can't speak to you, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos," are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you have believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's a mouthful. Well, what's he saying? You can't build anything on anybody else but Jesus. And when you start saying, I'm of this teacher, well, I'm in this camp. Thank God that we are, that's like families. Okay, I firmly believe this is from God, that we are hooked up with certain people. And you ought to be hooked up with the people that you're supposed to be hooked up with. That includes your local body, that includes certain ministries that have blessed you and that you feel hooked up with. That's of God, you need to be led by that, and you need to be loyal to those people and be supportive. But not at the expense of getting along with other people and not saying, well, see, this is what tends to happen. I'm of this camp over here, and we know more than anyone else, and so we're over here, and it's kind of like this looking down on other people. And this is in the body of Christ. I've been around this thing my whole life. And you see it. Well, I read so-and-so's books. And well, this person, they have a corner. I mean, this revelation, this is it. It seems like there's always somebody coming out that's new. Well, this person, they're even further. You got to watch. See, God's Word's been around for millennia. There is not anything. You think you have more than Apostle Paul? Some guy out here has more than what the Apostle Paul had? He wrote it. Through the Holy Spirit wrote it through him. The Acts of the Apostles, well, we have some new method that's just going to outdo the local church, the beginning church. We know so much more. Really? Well, this guy, he, you know, so-and-so, he has such revelation. New revelation? Is it new? There is nothing new. If it's new, nobody's seen it in 2,000 years. I'd be very skeptical. Well, this is new. Nobody's seen it. Now, God restores. And over the last centuries, he's been restoring to the church. You went through the dark ages. Not a lot of light in God's word. Then you had, you know, Martin Luther and others starting to come back, starting to swing the ship back. Oh, no, it's by faith. I mean, people did not read the word of God for themselves. They were just taking what religious people were telling them, the priests, and nobody had access to the word. That's why the King James Version was such a big deal. It put it in the language of the people. People could, I mean, this, we take this for granted. Having a Bible like this, that was not the case. To have access to God's word. See, we can go, and if you're listening to somebody, you just look at your word and say, is that right? And you can go home and study it. And we have umpteen different resources. You can get Bible programs for free. You can download that will help you study the word. You can check it out. That wasn't always the case. But then throughout those centuries, things were restored back to the body of Christ. They were always there. There's always been a remnant. It wasn't new. But speaking in other tongues at the beginning of the 1900s, there was an outpouring and the move of the Holy Spirit and healing and the power of the Holy Spirit and faith. And you're seeing grace being emphasized. But none of these things are new. And nobody has just a complete new revelation on any of these things. And we don't emphasize any one of these things to excluding others. You get in trouble when you do that. Well, this is the only thing. People did that with faith. The 70s and 80s and 90s. You know, got the word and faith, and that's all there is. No, there's a more than that. There is love. And there's hope. Faith, hope, and love, Corinthians says. And there's grace. And there's self-discipline. Yeah, and there's holiness. And sanctification. There is a lot in the Word of God that doesn't, you don't just have things in isolation. Well, this is all there is. This is the truth. No, God will emphasize certain truths. But he didn't do away with everything else. And a lot of times things are emphasized to steer things back and to bring them back. But what inevitably will happen is that people will go too far. They'll go too far with certain things and they'll run right into the ditch. Brother Hagin used to say it, the hardest thing for the body of Christ to do is to stay in the middle of the road. Everybody wants to go over all the way to this side or all the way over to this side. Healing. God doesn't heal at all today, you know, and then they go over here and everything is about healing. There's nothing else. You know, people with demons. There are no demons. People go over here. There's not, they don't exist. And then over here, everything is a demon. Neither one of them is true. Why can't we just stay in the middle of the road? Stay right in the middle of the road. But what did he say in verse 3? He said, look, I wanted to feed you solid food, but you couldn't take it because you're still being a big baby. You're saying, well, I'm of this person. He says that. Then he goes, verse 3, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? And then he goes, who are these but ministers of the Lord? He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you have believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. It's about the Lord. Thank God for ministers that have blessed us in different ways and brought us along. I thank God for them. But we don't center up and start looking at a man. They're not God and they can fall. And this is why when people they'll leave the church or leave God, you know, because of some man fell. That shouldn't surprise us. Some man messed up. Really? But he was a Christian. I was looking to him. And I just can't believe it. If he's going to mess up, then I just don't want to have anything to do with anything. Really? See, did Jesus fail you? Did God fail you? No. God will never fail anybody. Did a man fail? Well, that shouldn't surprise anybody. We got our eyes on something we never should have had them on, and then so close. People sometimes are, like I said before, but I'll repeat it, following so close somebody, they cannot see that they're going off in the weeds. It's like you're bumper to bumper. It'd be like you're following somebody on the way somewhere thinking they know where they're going and you don't, and you're following them so close looking at their bumper that you don't even see the fact that all the scenery's changing and that you're totally in the wrong part of town and you're centered up on the guy in front of you going, well, he knows where to go, he's never let me wrong, and you're right in the middle of where you don't want to be. This is exactly what happens. People, they're not looking at the bigger picture and at the Word of God and all the warning signs that they're going in the wrong direction and saying, but this person is such and such, they're such and such. They're not God. I said, they're not God. We have to look at the Word, and you have to let the Word be your guide, and when the Word corrects you, don't do that. This has to do with some of the things we're talking about, which we're not getting into now, but when you're reading the Word and you see something, and I bet you everybody in here has done this, including me, you see something and it goes in the face of your belief system of where you understand things to be, but you just act like you didn't see it. You say, well, I don't know about that. If that meant what I think it means, that would blow away half of all this. And I just go right over that and keep going. You're reading your devotions. Oh, there's that verse again. Yeah, I still don't know what that means. Just go right by it. No, I think we've all done that. There are questions there and things, but you know what happens when you don't understand and you won't acknowledge, you don't see that? That's called religion. You're not letting the Word of God be your guide. You're saying, I don't believe. Now, I'm not saying there's a difference. You say, Lord, I don't understand that. Show me. And I'm just going to shelve it for now. There's something there I want to understand. That's one thing, and that's being honest. I'm not saying we're being dishonest. I'm saying we need, that's being honest with yourself. There's another thing that it's like, I don't know what that means, but it's wrong, and you have all these voices in your head of things that are against it, that would go against what you believe, and like, oh, those people don't know what they're talking about. They're using that verse. I don't know what it means, but they're wrong. That doesn't make any sense. We're basing, at that point, we're not looking at the Word. We're basing it on what somebody else said. And that's dangerous because that's how religion starts. Somebody that they don't know why they believe what they believe, and we're all guilty of this to some degree, but I'm going to argue with you about it because you don't know. And all this stuff you're saying is wrong. And I don't know why I believe some of this, and I know you may have some point, but I don't know how to combat it, so you're wrong anyway. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You paint yourself into a corner that way. You get yourself into a corner. You're not supporting the Word of God. You've been duped into supporting religion. And then you know what? We don't fellowship with people. Well, I can't fellowship with you because you don't believe everything I believe. Well, good luck finding somebody that believes everything the way you believe it. I bet you we could go in this room and not everybody believes the same. And if we went by that, we would just be all at home, being at home and saying, well, I just can't find a church. Nobody believes just like I do. You know, there are a lot of people at church or at home week after week because they just don't think they can find anybody that quite comes up to their standard and belief system. That's pride. It stinks. And it keeps you from walking in God's Word. It keeps you from growing. We can go, so this whole thing, I mean, Paul just called him, he said, you're a bunch of babies. That's what he said. He said, I'd love to give you some real meat, but I can't do it. Because you're so stuck on this person and that person, and you don't realize it, that you're supposed to follow God, and you're just a bunch of babies. I know I'm talking pretty strong, and I'm not necessarily saying this to you, but this in the body of Christ, we have a bunch of babies in a lot of areas. They're going to go follow this person, they're going to go follow this person, and then that person's not cool anymore, so they're going to go follow this person, and it's just, they won't fellowship with other people because nobody quite has it the way they have it. Our job is just to make sure we're following the Lord and being honest, and you should be able to have an honest conversation with somebody and say, you know, I see where you're coming from, but what about this? And be open to the fact, you know, they may have a valid point. Most people have a valid reason why they believe what they believe, even if they're wrong. They got there somehow. And most of the doctrines that you hear, they don't start off as, people aren't just going into it blind. They see it. They see a line of reasoning. Like we said earlier, it's flawed somewhere, but it sounds pretty good, and people go down that track. And that's how people get into the ditch. Little by little. So we just got to make sure we're not getting into the ditch, amen? And that just comes from being open before the Lord, being honest. When you don't understand something, go to Him. First thing, you don't need to go and look up everything. I mean, you can look at the commentary in your Bible, but those words weren't written by the Holy Spirit. The commentary part. It's not the same as the words up top. You got to be careful. I look at those sometimes, and you know, you just have to judge what's going on the inside. But you look at the Word. The first place you should go. We'll close with this. You have a question on some scripture. The first thing you should do as look at other things in that same chapter. Look at what the same writer is saying in that same chapter. Then look at the rest of that same book. What does he say in other places in the book? Because these books weren't written in chapter and verse. They're just a letter. Men divided them. People don't necessarily change subjects when they come to the end of chapter one and boom, it's another. It's not true. It's if I wrote you a letter and it was three pages. And if somebody came later and divided it up and put numbers on it. Well, I wanted to give you a message of some sort. I didn't necessarily, unless I wrote this outline like this, which maybe I would do, but not necessarily. I'm just kidding. But unless you wrote an outline, it doesn't necessarily switch every chapter. So look at the same writer. Then go look at other books by the same author in the Bible. Then look at the New Testament. In the New Testament, look at the rest of the New Testament. And then finally, the whole Word of God. That's how you rightly divide the Word. What you don't do is say, what about this scripture? And then go way over here. And well, there's this. And then there's this one. And then come up with some crazy thing. Amen? Amen. Well, here we go. It's 8 o'clock. Praise God. But just we got where we needed to get for tonight. Hallelujah.